So it's great, because all those things that kind of can spoil our relationship with God, God promises just to take them away when we confess them and we've got that friendship back with him again. And over the last few weeks, well, as a church, we've been thinking about some of the things that means in practice. In church, on Sunday mornings, we've been thinking about life on the front line, about living for Jesus in the places where we work, when we're out with our friends or at home with our families. And over the last few weeks in Sunday clubs, they've been thinking about prayer. And I think that at first sight, it might seem as though those are two completely different things. Living on our front line is all about being active, doing stuff, and prayer is just the opposite. But actually, those two things really belong together. And I think, I hope, that our Bible reading this morning might actually help us to see why that is. So Will is going to come and read for us.
The Bible reading is taken from Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13, and can be found on page 970 on the Pew Bibles. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Great, thanks, Will. It's got to be the most famous prayer in the world, hasn't it? The Lord's Prayer. And actually, to help us think what the Lord's Prayer is all about and what it's got to do with living on our front lines, I've got my rucksack. And I need somebody who could possibly come and render a small piece of assistance now and then. Looks like it might have to be Millie. Right, there you go. Everything you need will be in there. So, just think, when Jesus was teaching the Lord's Prayer, which we've just heard, who do you think he was actually speaking to? Anybody know? Go back to the beginning of the chapter before this, when Jesus started teaching, and it says, his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. Now, disciples, that's a word we've been using quite a lot at church. But what exactly does disciples mean? Can you think of another word that you might use instead of disciples? What do you think? Followers, that's one. Any other ideas? Learners. See what you can find in that bag.
No, not there, no.
Okay, what's on the top there? Yes, let everybody see. Excellent. An L plate. Disciples really are just learners. Jesus was talking to his disciples about prayer, about how we should pray, about how we should talk to God. And of course, Jesus' disciples were a really mixed bunch, but they were all learners. Just like if we're following Jesus, we're all meant to be learners. As a church, we want to be making disciples, growing disciples, and being disciples. And that means that in everything we do as a church, it's all about learning. When it comes to living on our front lines, God doesn't expect us to be perfect. He wants us to learn and to gradually become more like Jesus. And when it comes to prayer, we are all still learners. Right. Next thing in my bag, I'll give you a clue. It's in the bit at the top here. What is it? No, you don't get to keep it.
Phone.
A mobile phone. What do you need a phone for? What do you need a phone for?
Contact people.
Contact people. Anything else? Messaging. Annoying your teachers.
Playing games.
Playing games. Yeah. So many things. My mobile phone, which I've had for a few years now, my son's bought it for me because I was spending lots of time traveling down to Ipswich to see my mum and dad then. And they wanted to make sure that if I was on the road and anything happened, I could phone home. So a phone, we have a phone so that we can phone home. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches his disciples, these learners, that they need to call home. They need to speak to God. Right at the start of the Lord's Prayer, it just reminds us who we belong to. And that's really important. It is so easy to forget about God, to forget that he's our Father, to forget to talk to him. Sometimes, I guess that some of us here do end up losing touch with him. But the Lord's Prayer reminds us that fundamentally we are who we are because God is our Father. So Jesus teaches us to remember our Father in heaven. I need a phone to call home, to keep in touch. Jesus says, keep in touch with your Father in heaven. Remember who he is, hallowed, holy, and remember who you are, his child. So the prayer starts, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Okay, what's next in the bag? It's in there. Yeah, you try and take it out earlier. No, not that. Yes, it is.
Ruler.
A ruler. What's a ruler for?
Straight lines.
Keeping things straight. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus gives his followers a new way to live. Your kingdom come, your will be done. God's kingdom is God's perfect reign, where there's no more mourning or hunger or pain or loneliness or anxiety. God's will being done, which will always be good. And if we call him Father, our work as disciples or as learners is to share in that. But we can't possibly do it on our own. So we pray, your kingdom come. Not in the sense of leaving God to get on with bringing in his rule, but as our prayer that he will equip us to play our part in that. Although our lives are often so bent and twisted, God's way is perfect and straight. God's rule for life is the best way to live. And so we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right. Anything else? The other thing that you nearly took out before you nearly took the other thing out.
Lunchbox.
It's empty. Don't get your hopes up. But why? Why would anybody need a lunchbox? Who has a lunchbox? Anybody got a lunchbox? You got a lunchbox? What do you put in a lunchbox? Food. Yes, indeed. And the Lord's Prayer tells us to remember that it's God who gives us enough for each day. But I don't think it's just about bread, because literally what Jesus seems to say here is, give us today the bread of tomorrow. What a strange thing to say. But in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 55, there's a great picture of the kingdom, of the time when God's reign will be seen on earth. And it says, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what's not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good. And in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus is saying, we can pray to God, give us now the bread which you promised in Isaiah 55. Give us now the blessings of the coming kingdom. Give us today our daily bread. Okay, do you want to put that one down? Excellent. And next.
Where is it?
It's a very small thing. I'll put it in a little bag so you can actually find it. What is it?
A rubber.
What do you need a rubber for? You probably never need to use one of these, do you, Millie?
Yeah.
You do? Yeah. Why do you need to use a rubber?
It's if you make mistakes, you can rub it out.
If you make mistakes?
Yeah.
Surely you don't.
Yeah.
Yes? You mean yes you do or yes? No, we won't go there.
Yeah.
You see, there's a bit of a problem with all of this stuff. God gives us this wonderful friendship with him. He wants us to live his way. But we forget. We get it wrong. God promises to rub out our sins and remember them no more if we trust his forgiveness. And Jesus says to us that we must forgive others, to rub out the wrongs that there might be between us. Rather than debts, we'd often use, we'd say sins. But it's the same thing. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, once asked Jesus a question. How many times should I forgive somebody? And Jesus' answer was, how many? 77 times. Poor Peter didn't even have enough fingers and toes to count them up. But the gist was, you just go on forgiving. However many times you have to, just keep on. Don't sort of add up grudges. Take away what you're holding against someone and forgive. You need a heart that's just lining up with God's rule on earth as it is in heaven. So the rubber reminds us of God wanting to forgive us and helps us to remember to forgive others. So Jesus teaches us to say, forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And there's one last thing in my bag, and it is...
I'm not putting them.
They haven't been on my feet, it's okay. They've probably been on somebody else's feet, but... What are they?
Shoes.
Shoes, what sort of shoes? Trainers. When might you wear these?
When you go sports.
When you go sports. Jeremy, you've probably got some much better than this, because you go running, don't you? Sometimes. How far are you going to run in a few weeks' time?
Half marathon.
Half marathon. And if you're going to run, you've got to have something on your feet, haven't you? So I'll put them down there. You need trainers to help you run faster. And we need them. You see, often I'm tempted to do the wrong things. Temptation is to get drawn towards doing something you know isn't right and is against what God wants for your life. And later in the Bible it says, flee temptation. Get your running shoes on and go quickly in the other direction. Run as soon as you're getting drawn into something you know isn't what God wants. Something that's not about heaven on earth and God's rule here. Because you see, the thing is, small things lead on to bigger things. An unkind thought leads to an unkind look, which leads to an unkind word, which can lead to an unkind action. Big bombs have small fuses. We're all tempted. Jesus knows us, and he knows that we'll be tempted to go an easier way rather than God's way. And he teaches us to see how real temptation is and to ask God for help to lead us away from giving in and giving up. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Thank you, Millie. You can keep being learner for the rest of your life. There's actually one more thing, which isn't in my bag, but which is really important. You see, Jesus' disciples learn as a group. He most often taught groups of people rather than individuals. And Jesus taught this prayer to a group. That's why it says, Our Father, give us today, forgive us our debts, lead us not into temptation. You see, Jesus is teaching us not to go it alone, but to go together. When we meet together like this, we remind ourselves that our worship, our prayer, our whole life as God's people is together, is a community. Yeah, sometimes when you're out on your front line, it might feel as though you're on your own. But actually, it's because we are together that it's possible to live on your front line. It's because we've got one another that we can actually manage when we get out there and live on the front line for Jesus.